then let's get it on. I planned for 90 minutes, but I don't really have enough slides for 90 minutes, but depending on how many questions there are, we may finish early maybe, but I'll do my best to at least not be too late. So this workshop is not about Faust per se, but about the special topic of doing Faust plugin programming. So it was my idea. Well, usually I do the more academic or sciencey stuff, as some of you might know, but it was my idea to do a real practical introduction to all the incantations that you need to get Faust compiled, something to plugin that's ready to use in your DAW. So there are basically two reasons for that. First, users want to know how to do it because they maybe got a nice plugin as a Faust code, and then they need to figure out how to compile it so that it works in their favorite LV2 or VST host. And the other group I'm talking to are the developers themselves, who I want to lure into maybe do some of their DSP programming in Faust, because I'm a bit biased, of course, but I think Faust is very nice for doing DSP programming. You can program on a much higher level, and it still feels like coding on the bare iron, so to speak. It's much like doing hardware, but it's all virtual. So if you into patching with PD or Max or whatever, then you will find some elements in there which are familiar, but it's a textual language, and you actually get a mathematical description of your signal processor. So even if in 50 years someone discovers your code, they can maybe still do something with it, at least if they can still find the Faust specification, the specification of the language. But that's only the academic or the sciencey part of it. The practical part of it, that you don't have to worry about all these nitty-gritty details, which can take very long to get right. Okay, that was the gong for the final members of the audience to get in. Not yet. It's like in the theater. The break is over now. Okay, so anyway, I will go into that a bit more later on, but for now, just to give you a short synopsis of what we'll do today is, well, we don't have tables here, but installing the required software. You have the slides, you will find them in the wiki, of course, and I've also uploaded a demo to GitHub. You can get the entire GitHub repo. The link will be shown later, and you can find that in the slides. And then you have all the materials and can do, and I have written down all the commands that you need so that you can then redo the stuff at home if you are so inclined. So I'll show how to install the software, and then show you how to do basic programming in Faust without going too much into Faust, because teaching Faust would take a day at least. I mean, at least getting the basics across. I will show some elements of Faust. I will give you a complete walkthrough how you can do a very simple instrument step by step, and beefing it up until it becomes really a playable instrument in Kala or Ardo or whatever you use. Here in the demos, I will be using Q-Tractor. And so I will be showing how to compile both LV2 and VST plugins, about the reasons for that later. They work exactly alike. So if you're using a host like Bitwig Studio on Linux, which only can do VST plugins, then you're covered. And if you have one of those nice open source DAWs which do the LV2 plugins, then you're covered too. So I will show that if there's enough time, I will also show it in different hosts that I have installed here. So I can show Ardor Bitwig Q-Tractor and also Traction here. And I also have Carla and Jalf, of course, installed. So I can show that too if there's enough time. And I will also, while walking through the demo, I will also show you some optional features in these architectures, which can be used for musical applications, and also for beefing up the plugins with the GUI, which is pretty new stuff, which was done by one of my students. Okay, so the secret sauce here is Faust. So let's start talking about Faust. Why would you want to use it? Well, it would be nice if Faust would make it possible to bring DSP to everyone, so you don't have to know much about coding. I mean, the language is pretty simple, actually, but we really have to face the fact that doing DSP programming is hard, because DSP is hard. You have to know quite a bit of math, and you need to know some special coding techniques, at least if you're doing it in C or C++ or even assembler. But all is not lost. Others have learned this, so you can learn it too. And what's so nice about Faust is that it makes coding DSPs a lot easier. So there's less code to write. You can do a simple additive synthesizer and just maybe 4 or 5 lines of code, and most of that is actually the control variables. The algorithm itself is basically a one-liner. And the rest of the stuff that you need, if you want to do a filter and you do that in C, then you have to think about buffers. If you have a recursive filter, you need a buffer to keep track of the past samples. And it's easy to forget about that or make one-off errors and stuff like that. And you don't have to worry about that when using Faust, because the Faust compiler will take care of it. And the other nice thing about Faust is that we have some very good codes available already. So some of the world leading experts like Julius Smith from Karma are working in Faust by now, and they have published many of their codes. So there's lots of really good DSP code in the library. And much of that is available either... What's that? Okay, so that speaker, it wasn't me, I hope. Much of that is also available in a form so that you can just plug it into your program, pretty much like you take an abstraction in PD and put it into your PD patch. And other stuff is ready-made code, which you can produce an instrument from and just use it in your DAW. And other stuff is you will have to work a bit more. But in any case, there's lots of code already available so that you can, you don't have to start from scratch. And getting into DSP programming is, of course, the hardest part. And it's always nice to have some code that you can start working with. And if you got deeper into Faust, there's also lots of in-depth documentation available. The pages by Julius Smith, if you want to do really the hard math stuff, he has plenty of pages there, and also plenty of pages, basically even an introduction to Faust itself. I've linked to that in the slide, so these are actually links. They're not always recognizable in the slides. I'm sorry about that. But you should try, if you see something that looks like it might be a link, then you should try in the slide to just click on it. And if you're lucky, then you actually take into the page. And one very nice thing about Faust is that it has an online compiler. So it lives on the web as well. So if you don't, if you want to get started with it, it might be a hurdle to get Faust up and running. I'm going to show how you can do it. It's actually not that complicated. But even if you don't, or even if you use Windows and don't have an up-to-date binary for the Faust compiler available, you just go to the web And use the online compiler to compile your DSP code. I'm going to show that as well. So there's plenty of nice stuff in Faust. To do that a bit more formally, I wanted to present some pros and cons. So for me, it's more the pros than the cons, of course, but I tried really hard to also find some reasons why you wouldn't want to use it. So for me, the main points for Faust are that it has a formal semantics. That's maybe something which only scientists or mathematicians like me are interested in. But you have to think about it this way. In the last break, I talked to someone who's doing audio formats, and if you're doing stuff that might be useful or might be interesting for others, let's say in 50 years' time, and if we are talking about music, there are always some scientists who are interested in the old stuff, namely musicologists, which I teach at the university. And then you have to start thinking about things like, how was that instrument implemented? How did it sound? With old instruments, we maybe know, maybe some of them are still around with real instruments, but with virtual instruments, unless you have precisely the max version that you need to run a certain patch from one of the fathers of computer music, you don't know how it sounds. And in 50 years, maybe all these max versions won't be available anymore, so you can't reproduce the original sounds. And that's where the formal semantics comes in, so it's also something for documentation and not just for getting executable code more quickly and more conveniently than in C. It's also very high level that is closely connected to that. Very high level means that you can concentrate on your DSP algorithm and forget about all the nitty-gritty stuff. That's, for me, that's just great. I mean, I don't like bothering thinking about buffers. Should it be 5 samples long or 17 samples? I don't want to bother with that. The Faust compiler will take care of that. Then it's also cross-platform. Cross-platform, we have other toolkits. We've heard about DPF, you probably heard about Juice, and these kind of things, so that you can produce cross-platform plugins. Get plugins for different platforms. But Faust really takes this to a new level. We have so-called architecture files, and so you can compile to different targets. Edgar already mentioned that this morning. And the nice thing about that is you can do your own architecture files. It's just a C++ template for the plugin, and into which then Faust fills in the DSP specific code, which is generated from the Faust program. Next point is output is C++ code. So you can just take the code produced by the Faust compiler and run with it and modify it for your needs. And that is actually done by some people who I know are using Faust to do at least parts of their plugin. And of course, then you have to know C++. Or at least C. There's very little actual C++ in the generated code. It's basically just an object, a class, which encapsulates all the routines which are needed and the data. So that's the way that C++ gets used by Faust. So you don't have to be worried about some of the inefficiencies which might creep in if you use C++ instead of plain C or assembler. And then there's some more stuff which I can't really get into. There's the Faust 2 branch, which gives you an embeddable JIT compiler for Faust programs. So JIT means just in time. You can use Faust in a library and put that into your own programs and then have the DSP code generated and executed on the fly. And this is, of course, nice for rapid development tools. And we have two examples of that already. FaustLive is available for Windows also, I think. And the Mac and Linux, of course. And PMix is unfortunately only available on the Mac right now. That PMix gives, basically gives you an environment to program your Faust plugins directly in a VST host, like a DAW. FaustLive is more for doing standalone stuff, for quickly testing plugins. So it's very nice to have this quick way of just dropping your Faust source into a program and have it run there. And there's also the web audio support, which is where you can run your Faust DSPs in a browser. Yes. One question.
You were mentioning, unfortunately, with respect to the PMix only being available to OS X.
Right now.
Are there any plans to...
Yes, but they're still quite a bit off, if I understood the guy correctly.
So there are no... dates.
No expected time to arrive. Sorry, no.
Thanks.
Okay. The web audio support means that you can run your DSPs also right there inside the browser as JavaScript code, as ASM JavaScript, to be precise, and it runs almost at native speeds, which is an incredible feat in my view. That was all done by Gram, of course. I'm just talking about the Gram stuff right now. There are also some disadvantages of using Faust, so certainly there's a learning curve. You have to learn a new programming language. If you already know C or maybe C++ and maybe Java or JavaScript, which are popular languages today, they are all imperative languages, object-oriented imperative. So you give commands to the computer. Not so with Faust. Faust is a functional programming language, and even among the functional programming languages, it's purer than many others, so there are no side effects whatsoever. What you write down is essentially an expression which describes how a signal processor operates. And there are very many high-level operations, the so-called block diagram algebra operations, which let you combine these things, which is more in the style of patcher environments like PD or Max, and less in the style of C++, where you say, okay, first I need to get these buffers and then I multiply them by 3 and then I add something and so on. So functional programming is much, much different, and it requires a different mindset. Then there, more seriously, I mean, all these things can be overcome with learning, just studying Faust and learning to code in it. There are some things which aren't quite finished yet, which are worked on by Gram. One is the short circuit conditionals, so that you can shut off part of your DSPs if you don't need them. That's not in the master branch of the Faust JIT repository yet, but there is a special branch where it's already implemented, and as far as I can tell, it seems to work great and will probably soon be integrated into the mainline Faust branch. And the second thing is multi-rate processing, which is in this setting quite complicated, and where Jan, that's one thing which I remember we talked about that how many 4 or 5 years ago and designed a scheme, and it's not easy to do. So, but it will be there eventually. Multi-rate processing, you need that for stuff like doing Fourier transforms. Right now, you have to jump through some hoops, do some stuff in Faust, do again some other stuff in Faust, and connecting these two, and maybe doing the Fourier transform in between or something like that. And that we want to keep everything to Faust. It must be possible to do Fourier transform there. Then another potential point is that your target architecture, which your environment that you want to use needs to be supported, which isn't always true. But for the popular environments, I think there's, Edgar showed it this morning, the impressive list of architectures where many people have contributed to Faust. It's a comparatively easy way to contribute if you know a plugin interface, which you, if you have a plugin interface which you know very well, and you know how to which callbacks need to be implemented or so. Just teams up with someone who's written architecture before, or take one of the sample architectures and put that stuff into the architecture and make it work, and that's always a valuable form of contributing to Faust, because in the end, of course, we want to support everything that does audio in some way, at least. So, but if it's not, if your environment is not supported yet, then you'll have to roll your own architecture code, so that's potential disadvantage. And now I'm already entering the more practical stuff. So if there are any questions about Faust itself, I mean, the inventor himself is also here. He can probably answer these questions much better than me.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed, sometimes you get really long compile times, depending on, of course, what you're writing, but I've had like 7 hours on a modern computer.
Submit a bug report. There's probably some corner in the compiler which isn't either not completely working, or where some optimization really needs exponential time or something like that. Submit a bug report with a minimal example, and I'm sure that Jan will look into it.
Where do I file bug reports? Is it just a mailing list, or?
The Faust code or the C?
The C. Well, I've had both happen. One program is the C takes really long, and the other is the Faust takes really long. The propagation made it mostly. But, yeah. Yeah, and like something like 10 gigabytes of memory, or more, I think, even.
Post on the mailing list or submit a bug report at the SourceForge project. That's a proper way to go about that. So, if there's no further questions about that, I'm now entering the realm of getting practical and getting stuff installed. So, if you want to do VST plugins, then you need this one commercial piece of software. The rest I'm going to talk about is all open source software. These VST sources are also available in source form, but there are some license conditions. This is stuff from Steinberg, the makers of Cubase, and, well, it depends on whether you want or have to use VST in some projects. And then if you want to compile your Faust programs to that format, then you just need to install the VST SDK source. So I've written down how you can do that. You can read it for yourself. I'm not going to walk through the steps now. I have it pre-installed on my computer. This may be a stumbling stone if you want to publish your software, then you have to fulfill Steinberg's license conditions. At least if you sell stuff, I think. And okay, but as long as you're running the VST plugins for yourself, there's no way that Steinberg can know about that or has to know about it. At least that's how I see it. So if you have a project which you want to port to Traction or maybe Bitwig Studio, then and you just need that Faust plugin as a VST, it's possible. You just grab the source code and install it, and then you can use the same processes which I'm going to show with LV2 to produce exactly the same plugin within limits. I mean, there's some stuff that's just done differently in VST than in LV2 in subtle ways. Sometimes it's done better in VSTs, but most of the time it's done better in LV2. So there are some limitations which you have to live with, but most of the functionality will be exactly identical for both kinds of plugins, which I'm going to talk about. So this is also the stuff that I've done, so, and some of my students. I'm going to give some tips for Arch users, because I'm a big fan of Arch Linux, and I use Manjaro. But so you see some notices of Arch user repository packages, then it becomes very easy to install the stuff. And even if you don't running Arch, if there's some stuff that you want to find out how to package, or how to compile, which dependencies it has, don't look at the Debian source packages. They're a big mess. They're horrible. And in Arch, you get a single shell script. There's the dependencies there and the entire build process, everything in a single shell script. So you can easily find out how to compile stuff, even off on a totally different system, whether it is Debian or Red Hat or something. So this information may be valuable for others too. And in any case, I included it. So you should install the SDK first. Why? Because during Faust installation, it will try to figure out the script which gets used to compile to VST, will try to figure out where the sources are. Maybe you need something to edit something manual anyway, but maybe it will figure it out on its own. Otherwise, you'll have to look at the Faust2 Faust VST script and fill in the right path to the VST SDK there. But that's why I put this step first. So if you put it in some of the paths, I put up a sample path here. If you put it there, then the script should be able to find it, which is included with Faust. So installing Faust, it's really easy. So you take the slide, and this doesn't work here. Okay, if you have a proper PDF reader, you just copy this line. Let me see whether I can do that in this browse, Zoom. Selection, where is it? Ah, there it is, okay. Oh, I hope that this works. Okay, let's clone the sources. I'm just going to put this on the desktop now, somewhere on the desktop. Cloning rip. Ah, okay, I don't have internet. Why don't I have internet? So let me see. CBase. Where's the public network? More networks. Okay, there it is. Okay, now I have internet. Well, this will probably take a while. Let's pretend that we've already done that. Of course, I have the sources somewhere. And then you just run make. And if you want it to be a bit quicker, then you let all your processes work. And I also added world, which compiles some extra stuff which isn't usually included, but which you also won't need for the demo. If you do just the make, it will have amazingly small number of dependencies. Basically just the C library, or is there some other C++ standard library, and you need a C++ compiler, and you probably need actually the GNU C++ compiler or Clang, of course. It's pretty compatible. So, and then after that, you just do a sudo make install, and it will everything will end up under /user/local by default. Also, of course, there's an Arch package which I made. So I'm actually made two packages. One is the mainline Faust, which is all you need for doing the stuff that I'm showing here. And the other one has more dependencies. That's the experimental Faust 2 branch. It has more languages, output languages, and the additional features which I mentioned, the JIT compiler and stuff like that. But for just compiling your plugins, the mainline version is all you need. Okay, yeah. You see all the commands there, so it should be easy to follow that, those instructions. For the stuff that I'm using here, the LV2 and the VST plugin architectures, you need some extra stuff. You need the boost headers. That's used in some part of the architecture where it does processes, MIDI stuff. And actually, I think I'm using that in the voice allocation algorithm somewhere. I didn't want to write a cyclic buffer just for this. It's in the boost headers. You only need the header files from the project. So on Ubuntu or Debian systems, that's probably boost minus dev or something like that. On Arch, you just install the boost package, and you need the LV2 headers. You can get those from those links as well, but they should be readily available in any kind of Linux distribution that you want to use, and Qt, of course, as well. Qt is only needed if you want to build the custom GUIs with the plugins. And there, you might ask, why use Qt? We just had the discussion on the LV2 mailing list. Qt is not ideal for plugin GUIs for a variety of reasons. But it's we did it in Qt because it's readily supported by Faust. There's already quite a lot of code in for doing Faust DSP GUIs in Qt, and we just use that. And that's why we use Qt. So there are some pitfalls there. You need to be sure that the Qt version will work with your DAW. For instance, Ardor requires, I don't know what I do when it does this. And if you have a tip for me. Okay, some cable connection maybe. Okay, I hope that the guys listening on the stream haven't just exploded yet. So the Qt you need for Ardor is Qt4, and the Qt you need for the other DAWs, or you can use with the other DAWs, including Qtractor, is Qt5. So that's the current version, of course. So I've also written down the packages that you need to install. And so the next thing that you need are these special architectures for LV2 and VST plugin programming. You actually don't need to get these. The stuff is that you need for compiling is all included in the latest Faust JIT versions anyway. But I've included these links to the original Bitbucket JIT repositories with the code because there are some. There's a makefile in there which shows how you can package up stuff with the makefile if you want to do that for your own plugins. And there's also a couple of examples which you can use for testing immediately. And you can just clone these repositories. Of course, I have downloaded these as well. So let me just show you how you compile this stuff. I have it under sources, Bitbucket. Okay, Faust LV2. Let me show the Faust LV2 stuff. So if you need all the dependencies that I mentioned, and then you just type make. Or if I'm doing it to make it a bit quicker, then it will compile. Use Faust to compile the stuff. This uses the makefile, not the script that you get with Faust. There's also the script included, so you can always get the latest stuff from this repository that I've shown, but I try to keep the Faust repository in sync very closely so that it doesn't fall behind. Yeah, so it's quite a few sample plugins, but it should be almost finished now. If you just type make in the Faust LV2 directory, it will build with default options, which means no dynamic manifests in LV2. Those of you who've done or used LV2 plugins will know what I'm talking about. So it needs to generate some LV2 plugin manifests and package them up with the plugins themselves. And it would also do GUI-less plugins. I can show you a different way to compile. Well, it's still, there's some extra compilation stuff going on there because it actually compiles the plugins twice to generate the dynamic manifest, which is always in the plugin itself. But you can, if you have a version of LV2 installed, or more precisely of lil-v, which is the host lib, that, for instance, Qt Tractor uses and also Ardo uses. If this is compiled with dynamic manifest enabled, then you don't need all this stuff. And the compilation gets much quicker. Let me briefly show that as well. This is the dyn manifests option. You have pretty much the same options also if you use the compilation script, which I'm going to show later on, and you just say you want these, so in the make file you write equals one, so this enables this app, this option. So and then it will, then the compilation is much quicker because it just needs to compile the plugins once, just as a shared library which can be loaded by the host. But I'm going to stop this here now as well and show you another option, which is GUI equals one. So in this case, the makefile will compile against Qt5 by default, if you have that installed. And it will build a plugin including a custom GUI in Qt, a Qt GUI. I'm going to show that in a couple of minutes, how they look like. And this takes a bit longer again because, well, actually there's some kind of QMake stuff and mock compilation and everything going on there in the background. So this takes a bit longer than the usual compilation as well. But I mean, it's not really that bad. Okay, so once you've compiled these things, while it keeps compiling, I'm going to get back to the slides. Okay, you also need a DAW, of course, if you want to run these plugins, or at least an LV2 or VST host. I'll be using Qtractor here because I can do both VSTs and LV2s and Qt5 GUIs with it, and it's nice and small and easy to use. I could have used Ardo, as I said, in the end. I will maybe show some of the other hosts as well, but for now I'll be sticking to Qtractor, so if you want to follow along with the demo, you will have to have that installed as well. And I've left some links here of other stuff that you may want to try: Bitwig Studio, Radium, Reaper on the Mac, if you're here with a Mac. So the stuff also works on the Mac with some limitations, which I'm going to talk about at the end of my presentation. And Traction, also on Linux, very nice. And okay. If you don't have any of these and have troubles running the plugins directly in your DAW, then maybe Carla will help you. We've seen it in Vince's presentation. So, and there's also an external for PD, which I've written, so that you can run the LV2 versions of the plugins also in PD. Okay. Compilation, I've already explained that. There are some technical details. You can specify which QMake version to use to the makefile. And I've explained the dynamic manifests option. I recommend using this option. There are some reasons against it. LV2, from the basic philosophy of LV2, is that you have all information as static data in these manifest files, so that the host can discover everything about the plugin without running the plugin. But there are some features which are just impossible to do if you don't have dynamic manifest, like the tuning control that I'm going to show. So if you can use the dynamic manifest, it's good. It's not absolutely necessary, but in any case, none of these distinctions hold for VST, because it's always there's only one output in the VST architecture, which is the plugin. And to install these plugins once they're compiled, let me see whether it's finished already. Yes. Okay, you end up with some stuff in the case of the in the case of LV2, you end up with this. Oops, where are the results? Ah, no, I did. Did I do the VST stuff? The accident. It's still compiling, that's why. But it should be finished any minute now. Sources. Any questions concerning the build process while it's still building? No. Okay. Yeah. Probably anything which does standard C++ 11 or later. So 4.6, 4.7 should be okay. So it just finished it. And here in this case, the Faust LV2 stuff gets generated in a separate LV2 directory as a single bundle, which contains all the plugins and the needed manifest files and stuff. So you can just take this and copy it over to your .lv2 directory. Where I already have quite a bit of stuff. So you see the faust.lv2 stuff is already in there, and therefore I'm not going to do that now. But you can just take the entire bundle and throw it into your .lv2 directory, and then stuff is installed. And you can immediately fire up your DAW, and they should be recognized. Of course, if you're packaging stuff for someone else, then you might want to install elsewhere instead, on under user lib.lv2 or something. So that's how this works. That's the makefile compilation. Same process basically with the VST stuff. You run make or the scripts and then take the shared libraries which come out of that and throw that in your .vst directory. And well, I don't really want to go into the technical details of the compilation process, but you see in the VST case you just get a single binary, the shared library, which is the VST plugin, so it's a bit simpler. In LV2 There are some details involved, whether you want a GUI or not, whether you have dynamic manifests or not, whether it needs to generate the manifest, and the manifest and the plugin binary needs to be put together into a so-called plugin bundle. And all that is taken care of either by the makefile that you find in the JIT repository or with the script, which is also included in the Faust installation. And so there are some options there which are in lighter blue, but I don't really want to go into that now. So using the online compiler, I actually have this link should actually be working. So let me see. Yeah, there we go. Okay, the online compiler looks like this, and it used to greet you with a selection screen where you could select various example programs. That's not the case anymore. You can enter your code right there, or you can just drop a file over there. So let me see. Let me take one of these files that I have. So you find these examples in the examples folder. Let's take, for instance, a little instrument like the organ. Where do I have that? Well, let's take the car plus. So there, the DSP file is the Faust source. Let's just drop that up here. And didn't work. Why? Oh, I need to, sorry, now the sound will get worse, but the battery is going down. I still have an internet connection, so this should work, but it doesn't. Ah, there it is now. So you see the code, actually. I'm not going to explain all of that. It's an instrument. It's a simple physical modeling instrument, and the code, which are pretty much stolen from Jan, and so that's why his name is up here. And so that's the code that you find in the examples, and you then go to the compiled code tab, and you just select as an architecture whatever you want. If you want 64 bits LV2 without GUI, it'll be this architecture, or you can have create a plugin with a Qt4 GUI or Qt5, or let's do a VST this time with a Qt5 GUI. So, and then it will actually show you the C++ code, but we just want to have a binary, and so I click on the last tab. Takes a little while again. Maybe do it again. I hope I didn't kill the... Ah, no, there it is now. So if you want to download, use the plugin, you can get it right here. If you have your phone ready, you can just scan the QR code. And I will just click on this file here. It's a tarball which contains the plugin. So I'm going to save that and let's look at it. There it is, CarPlus. So you see in this case there's just the CarPlus.so in there, which you can now drop into your .vst folder in the home directory. Otherwise, you'll have an entire plugin in there. You just unpack that and throw that into your .lv2 folder. That's all. So it doesn't get any easier than that. I hope that you'll agree with this. Okay. Well, there's one more possibility. Use the script. This is what actually is done by the online compiler when it compiles the stuff. It uses these helper scripts. One of them is the Faust.lv2 script, which creates LV2 plugins from Faust sources, and the other one is a bit weirdly named Faust2 Faust VST. That's because there's also another VST architecture by Karma, but which isn't quite as capable, but which you can also use. But this script is for my Faust VST stuff. So it has various options. Because I'm running out of time, I'm not going to go into all of these, but you see you can select the Qt versions that you want to use, and you can also instruct it to keep the C++, the generated C++ code, if you want to tweak that yourself and stuff like that. And you can also specify a style for the GUI, and there are some pre-configured style sheets available in the Faust source. And for LV2, you can also specify whether you want dynamic manifest support or not. And also quite useful, if you, in LV2, every plugin has an URI. And you can choose that with this option here. It will tag on the plugin name, and then you can have your own plugin URIs. If you don't specify one, you get a generic one, which is actually URL pointing to my Bitbucket website for that. So let's get even more practical and see whether I can still, in the 30 minutes that I still have, walk you through and a complete example. We'll start out with something very simple, namely, I'm going to get rid of those, this little example here. So that's just a sign generator. You probably thought now, okay, I'm kidding you. But we'll arrive at something much more useful in just a few steps. This thing, I mean, it's probably pretty obvious what it does, so I don't even have to explain it, but you see that there's some library imported there, which has the oscillator function, this OSC function defined in it, and there's one control here for the frequency in hertz, and this is described by a certain function, numeric entry function. And you have a default value for the frequency here and a range of values and a step size. And then what your process function does, process is the main function in a Faust program, it realizes the global processor, so the DSP, which is realized by the Faust program. In this case, it's just an oscillator which oscillates at the given frequency, which I can then control with the frequency control. And let's just compile it so that you've seen it once, how you do that manually. It's very easy. Let's do a VST. So remember, it's Faust VST, not just Faust2 VST. And then basically you just specify the name of the Faust source, in this case x01.dsp. And then it will, everything else gets done silently. In this case, it will only for the benefit of the online compiler. I think you introduced that, that it prints out whatever gets produced by the script, and this will then get packed up. For us, it's just an information, okay, it left our plugin here, and now you have the x01.so right there, and you can drop that into your .vst directory, and that's all you have to do to install this stuff. So that I don't have to compile everything manually here, I've prepared something. To get these sources, let me show you where you can find this stuff. There's the repository. It's on GitHub. Okay, I use GitHub for that. In the slides, you have the command, you just copy that, and then you can clone the repository, which has the slides in it, this example, and a little makefile, which then automatizes the compilation. But it uses this Faust2 .faustvst, Faust2 Faustvst script. So let me just run make. And it will also produce a Faust. This is this a GUI. This is the minus GUI option. But of course, I've prepared that as well, so that I don't actually have to do it anymore. I just wanted to show how that works. It will take a while because with GUI compilation, as I've explained, it takes a bit longer. I've already copied this stuff over. I can show you that. For instance, the VSTs are in I put it in a separate subdirectory so that they're easier to find. The VST host will also look in subdirectories. So there they are. All the plugins, in this case, only shared libraries, because that's all VST has. And now let's see them in action. So let's start with the simple one that I just created, that I just compiled. I can show you that. Okay, Jack is still running. And as I said, I'm going to use QTractor for the demo. And we just create a MIDI track. And add the plugin, that's all. Well, I've chosen LV2 here. I compiled both. So they are also available as VSTs in QTractor. I'm going to use the LV2 now. So, and there we have sound. It's not much, but you can actually change the frequency. So that's probably not what you expected, but it's the first step. So it's actually produced by this plugin. So you have a control and the GUI is included, as you can see. It's in this case a very simple GUI. To show you what you can get when you do more stuff like this and to keep you motivated, I'm going to show you a complete project with, in this case, let's take that one. So these are some of the sample plugins. I have the kind of Carplus Strong synthesizer here, which looks like that in the GUI. And we can take away the Freeverb and have Fonsita Reverb also as a Faust program. And you see the GUIs are formatted. They're not just lists of sliders. That's because the layout information is really can be included in the Faust program. This will be in the final steps of our walkthrough. So, and you can also have some plugins with outputs. So here we have a GUI element which is called the bar graph in Faust, which then gets rendered as this kind of control, so that you also have some meters and stuff like that. Okay, that's how the full-blown result looks later. Now let me just walk you through the remaining steps. Maybe we don't do all of them, but okay, we don't have to listen to all of them. So next step would be, if you want to arrive at an instrument, we already have the oscillator. So one more step. let's add some metadata. The plugin hosts always like metadata because then they can show some information about the plugins. So this is the only difference we have in this program here, is that we declared some stuff, the version of the plugin, its author, a short description, a name. It depends on the host how this information is used, and also on the plugin standard, how I could map it to some metadata in the plugin interface, but it should work to some extent at least in the different hosts. But I'm not going, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Sorry about that again. Maybe it's because I'm running out of time and they want to remind me. Okay, the third example now has some more interesting stuff in it. I've added a few controls. You can also, in the materials that I included, if you go into, there's not only a makefile, there's also a readme in there, which explains everything which I'm now just glossing over in a bit more detail. But what we have here is actually, if I've added two parameters, gain and gate. That's also, I already have in mind of producing an instrument, and we need that for the instrument later on too. And I've, to make the sound more interesting, I added some partials. Well, now there are three where there was only one. And this also shows how you can program with macros in Faust. Macro definitions look very much like ordinary function definitions, but they have patterns in them. And what happens here is whenever I need the value amp of 1, it will take this definition, or for the for amp 2, it will take this definition. So this sum will take the control variable that I want to use with all the ranges and stuff, multiply it by the oscillator, and the I value here is a running index, which is defined down here. It will then run from 0 to 2, and because I, 3 is written down here, it will run from 0 to 2. That's why I had to add 1 to the index here. But what this basically does, it defines partial E as a signal processor, which creates a sign. And this main function here, the process function, adds these three partials together. So I guess that should still be understandable as well. So where we had one control parameter, we now have 6 in total, 1 for every amplitude, for every partial, and the other 3, which will then become the voice parameters of the synthesizer, which we're coming to in a few minutes. So let me briefly show you that. Using Q-Tractor again.
Excuse me?
Yes. Where?
Here.
Sorry, David, can I please have a glass of water? That would be very nice, thank you.
Regarding the macro, is there any real difference? And because I was confused by the term, when you compare it to some other function, or is it just regular pattern matching and the expression just defined a function which is only defined on 1, 2, 3, a partial function in a sense?
No,
or is it?
Actually, it's a function which is evaluated as at compile time, and not when the Faust doesn't generate any code for the function itself, for the amp function, but it generates code for the GUI elements as usual. But it's missing
it's
from
inlining.
The compiled code. It's kind of inlining, but it's really a macro language. Thank you very much, Heiko.
But I would theoretically have the possibility to use pattern matching and make some, I don't know, complex whatever.
Yes, we have some code like that. If you want to create complicated signal processors with repetitive pieces like meshes and so on, we regularly use that. But I can't really explain it in a few words now, and I have no examples to show right now. But it's used for much more complex stuff as well.
Okay, but maybe I can ask that later when I talk.
Yes, about. I can then maybe look for some examples which you have.
Thank you.
Okay, let's try this new plugin. So create a new track. Which one was it? I forgot the number. Number 3, okay. First need to turn it into MIDI track. And number 3. There we are. Okay, it looks a bit funky. We'll take care of that. But you see there are the 3 sliders, and I have my frequency. I also have a new gain parameter, and I can push the gate button to play, and I can change the amplitudes. So it's beginning to look and sound like an instrument. And let's take that one step further. Next step. I forgot to mention this, but you probably heard that click, right? That's because we have no envelope yet, of course. And if you just start a sound with full amplitude, then it's going to click. You don't want to have that in instrument. That's why you add an amplitude envelope. And I did that in this version of the patch. Otherwise, it's still basically the same. But we have this part down here. If we take another look at the version of the source before that, you see it just multiplies the 3 oscillators with the gain and the gate. But now, instead of multiplying with the gate itself, it multiplies with some signal derived from the gate. And here you see how you can patch stuff together in Faust. We still have the same gate control signal, which will be 1 when the note is played and 0 when it's off, and have this ADSR function, which turns this parameter, this control signal, into a more complicated signal, namely into the envelope signal. That's a function which is available in music.lib as well. It's interesting to look at. It's a quite intricate implementation. I really like it. But fortunately, I didn't have to write it myself. Jan did that for me. And we just have to pass some parameters, and I've added these here. Attack, decay, sustain, release, just the classical stuff if you know about sound synthesis and the techniques which are being used there, then you know what I'm talking about now. So we need those 4 parameters to describe a curve which goes like that, or rather like this. Looks a bit like a church. So it has these these 4 periods: attack, decay, sustain, release. And now instead, we just pipe this gate parameter into this ADSR function, which is a signal processor which takes this one parameter and then produces the envelope. And then we can multiply with this signal just as we multiplied with the control signal before. That's also one of the features of Faust, is that all your operations operate on signals, not on single values. And you don't have to think about it even. So, and I also added master volume and panning now, so that we have a stereo signal, and we can also control the volumes separately for each voice later on. So I can briefly show that as well. Yeah, we still have time for that. I should really remember the keyboard shortcut. Can you change these? I want to have Control T for that. MIDI. And so this was 4, right. So there we have the attack, decay, sustain, release parameters now. There's some reason why they are not in alphabetic order, but that's all written in the README. I don't go into that now. And so we still have the gate and gain. But if you listen to the sound now, it should be with it should start without clicking. And I can control the left-right panning. It's also not as loud anymore. That's because of this parameter here. And we can, of course, change the amplitudes like we did before, but we can now also change the attack, decay, sustain, release parameters and get different sounds, boat sounds and stuff like that. So now we almost have an instrument. That should be pretty clear. And we can go this one step further. And this is now really easy because the rest is basically done by the architecture. You just have to tell not even the Faust compiler, but the architecture. The Faust compiler doesn't know or care about instruments. It doesn't know or care about MIDI. That's all in the architecture. And the architecture will pick up this extra metadata, the N voices. I introduced that into my architectures. I guess that we might make some kind of pseudo standard from that, because I really want to have that information in the Faust program, at least in cases of architectures where it makes sense. So this tells the architecture I want 16 voices maximum, and I want this to be an instrument plugin. And this, the rest of the plugin is exactly the same. So we can give that a try now. Now I need to create a track, and I make it a MIDI track, and I add. I also changed the metadata, so it's actually now called synth instead of sine, which I used before. That's just changing the metadata; doesn't affect the functionality otherwise. So as you can see, one thing that you will notice is that we have some new controls down here, but the frequency gain gate parameters are gone. They are now automatically operated by the voice allocation algorithm, which is also included in the plugin architecture. So with just this simple step, just writing down declare N voices 16, you now have an instrument. And the voice parameters, this frequency gain gate parameter, have become invisible. And the other parameters will be operated in lockstep for all the voices. So the architecture actually makes sure that there are enough instances of the DSP available to play as many voices as you specified. And the actual number of voices you can change with this polyphony parameter, which goes up to the N voices value. And yeah, that's about it. Let's play it a bit. And now comes the embarrassing part, because I'm not a piano player, so I can't really compete with Vince, of course. And I still need to make a connection, probably here, MIDI connection. So let's connect the keyboard to Qtractor, and now I should hear sound. And now I can play this as an instrument. So of course I probably need to change this to record. No, it wasn't even needed. So it's always monitoring, right? Okay, if it's connected. Great. So we now have an instrument, and there are some more details about this. I can only pick one or two now because I'm running out of time already. But you can now go into to pick a MIDI file. Drag it in here. Why can't I drag it up here? Because I wanted it to have here, but it's not possible. Or is there a way to do that?
Try clicking on the MIDI.
Yes. Ah, okay, I understand. Yeah, now I got it. But, ah, there it is. Okay, then I can get rid of that one again. Thank you very much. You learn something new every day. So, same instrument again. Now there's still some issues with that. You want to have a nicer GUI. I mean, it's not really formatted nicely. And you want to deal with zipper noise maybe and stuff. I've taken care of that in the walkthrough too, but maybe one thing that I want to still show you in the end instrument. Yes. The microphone, where is it? There we go.
Would you be able to automate the parameters we defined in the Faust code?
Yes, they are all automatable, yes. Automatically. So they are all
automatically. So Faust maps that to the
they're all exposed in LV2, they're exposed as LV2 ports. Mm-hmm. But there's also a MIDI input port where you can then use the Faust assignments of MIDI controls, which is also mm-hmm. possible, or you do the MIDI control automation in yes. on the DAW side. I wanted to go into all of this, but I'm running yes. out of time now, okay. So maybe we
but
can...
But Faust abstracts this and translates it into the architecture, which maps it to the ports? Or
Basically, Faust has no business yeah. in that. It's all done in the architecture. There's in the Faust program, there's certain metadata which the Faust compiler will just put into the output C++ program, which can then be used by the architecture, like the MIDI assignments and stuff. And all the connection to the plugin API is done by the architecture. Faust knows nothing about VSD. It doesn't have to. I mean, the compiler...
It's great. Right.
So let me create another now with my new found knowledge. Let's have a quick look at this. So the end product would then be something like this, which I even styled with the gray Faust style for Qt. Which looks pretty much like a standalone application which you get out of Faust when you use the Faust to Jack Qt script or something like that. Actually, it uses exactly the same code. It's just packaged a bit differently. And now you can play this as an instrument, but let me do this with MIDI. So again, I need the MIDI file. Inventio. So this is by Bach, and yeah, it works, actually. So let's look at the plugin again. And now you can just operate, if you've ever used Faust Live or generated a standalone plugin, you just operate it in exactly the same way. And okay, maybe sustain. So you see they're all working. They can also be automated and then operated by MIDI, or you can operate directly by MIDI, and it's multi-timbral actually. It keeps track of the separate MIDI channels. And in the end, what you can also do is added functionality which you don't have in Faust Live yet. We want to merge all this code and then it will work the same everywhere, but this is right now only in the LV2 and VST plugin architectures. Then you can also change the tuning on the fly. So basically, if I do
a question?
There was a question, yes.
Does this...
You probably just a second. You probably heard that this sounds like a little bit out of tune now, which is because actually this is a quarter mean tone, which sounds pretty bad in some keys. And you can change this on the fly, or you can also send MIDI tuning SysX messages to the plugin. It will understand these as well if your DAW supports that. So this is also added functionality which you get for free. Okay, now the question.
Does this already have dynamics?
What do you mean by dynamics with different velocities?
Velocities, yes.
Yes, sure. I mean, it's a complete MIDI synthesizer. The velocity gets mapped to the gain parameter. That's why I had two volume parameters. One was named gain, which is especially interpreted by the architecture as one of the voice parameters. So it's automatically mapped from the velocity, and I've also put in the other volume parameter, which isn't interpreted especially by the architecture, which can then be exposed in the GUI or in the generic GUI provided by your DAW.
So the architecture just maps the velocity to the gain parameter?
Yes.
Okay.
And the note beginning and end to the gate parameter, and the note number to the frequency. And this is where the tuning is used. And the tuning can also be different for every MIDI channel. So it's a fully multi-timbral instrument, which we don't have in Faust Live yet, but once we merge the code, will be there as well. Okay. Yes, then let me get back to my slides and finish off. Okay, I talked about this and the MIDI CC support. You can find it in the slides and in the README as well, where I explained the entire walkthrough. One thing which I didn't talk about yet, and I think I'm really, well, we started a bit late. Where's the master of the ceremonies? Do you give me 5 more minutes? Okay, thank you. Then I can briefly show that to finish off, so that I just finish off with the slides. You have a very good opportunity to create your own plugins with either from existing Faust code, or if you're a developer, we really try to lure you into Faust because it's just so much more convenient to write your stuff in Faust than doing it in C, C++, or anything yourself. The reason to also support VST with exactly the same functionality for me was that personally I also use other hosts. I couldn't show these now, but the stuff also works in Bitwig Studio and Traction and Ardor, of course. And so we have some nice hosts now which only support VST, Bitwig Studio and Traction. And so I wanted, because I'm using that also in my courses at university, I wanted to have that work as well. Not because I'm really fond of the VST plugin architecture, but I think it's important as a step. We just can't close the eyes on the fact that VST is the cross-platform plugin architecture right now. I mean, LV2 pretty much, with very few exceptions, only works on Linux right now. And now you can just take your Faust code and compile it to a VST instead, and then you can run it on the Mac as the same plugin that you used on Linux. And the goal is, of course, to have also the GUIs work, which doesn't work yet. There's some trouble with the LV2 stuff. It should work in principle. It even compiles on the Mac. But the GUIs don't work in Ardor. I don't know why. They don't work in Kala either. Probably some library incompatibility. I couldn't track that down yet. And in VST, there's if someone knows Cocoa and knows how to embed a Qt window on the Mac in a native OS X window, then please get in touch with me. We still need to solve that. Other than that, we probably will look into lighter toolkits as well. I mean, this Qt support was done by Roman Zwiedler, one of my students, and it was a BSC project, so it had to be done in a certain time frame. And then it was very convenient to have all the ready-made code for Qt in Faust itself. We used all of that, and it still works with faustvsd.h header file unchanged. So we just built on that. And But Qt is not the optimal solution. I'm sure if Robin is still on the on ISC, he will agree with that. There should be other possibilities, but then we need to develop the code to format the GUIs. Other interesting directions for future work will be to port the architecture to some other plugin standards and also make it work directly in PD instead of the plugin that I will be showing now. And then something which I have on my to-do list, I just bought a mod, the new one, the Mod Duo. And so we probably will add some special support for that in the LV2 architecture. And there's some other stuff, but one thing which Vince just brought up, which has been on my to-do list for an eternity already, is MIDI output from the control variables. And as he just convinced me, this really needs to be available so that you can have a feedback to your MIDI controllers. And so these are the things that I'm probably will work on as time permits. And as the last thing before we can maybe have another Q&A, I'm just going to show the same kinds of plugins that you've seen earlier in the one of the more elaborate examples. I will show now in running in PD. So you can also find that in the GitHub repository. there are two examples there, one more basic, and this one is a bit more like the stuff that I've shown in QTractor. So I'm running this in PDL2.org, but you, of course, you can use vanilla PD or PD external instead. And as you can see, there's a special plugin here. You need more dependencies to get that to work because it's written in my own functional programming language, Pure. It's not too complicated to get it to work. You will find some notes in the README files, and this can load any kind of LV2 plugin. It uses liplilv as inside of it, and so it will load any plugin that the library by Robillard will load. And there is no GUI, no Qt GUI, even if you've compiled the plugin with GUI here in PD. But as you can see, there are some generated generic PD GUIs. Actually, PD users will maybe even support that. But it would be nicer to have auto-generated formatted GUIs, which we already have code for that. But I first need to make this LV2 VST architecture work in PD. The version we have now is still a bit more primitive. That's also on the to-do list. Just to convince you that this actually works, let me run this from MIDI player to Pure Data. So I have no sequencer in Pure Data, so I'm just taking a basic MIDI player application. And there we go, and we should also... Same stuff, same plugins, exactly the same plugins now running here in PD. So that's the cliffhanger. Now I'm ready to take the Q&A, and thank you for listening.
Albert, maybe two questions. The first one, you said that you do the automatic mapping of the velocity to the gain.
Right.
If I don't like a linear ramp, how would I set my own exponential or logarithmic wave?
Right. Well, you get a linear parameter, but it's just mapped to the 0-1 range. you can then still do anything in Faust that you like. So you can turn it into an exponential response or whatever you want. Second question.
Okay, thanks. Second one is, okay, so I've got you right. If the generated UIs don't really appeal to me and the ones with the theme are somewhat nice, but you really want something photorealistic, self-rendered, could you hook some self-made code with your own pix maps and rotational knobs into it somehow?
You just rip out the GUI code and put in your own. That's why I said it's so nice that you get C++ code. You can see that the GUI code actually... it's a part in the architecture which you can just throw out. And in the VST architecture, it's basically don't let me lie to you, but you should be able to just replace the editor callback. In the VST architecture and in the LV2 one, it's basically, well, there the link is a bit more intricate. But... So that's probably more work to integrate your own GUI. But in principle, it's also, I mean, there's a queue widget which is created and which gets then passed to the LV2 plugin host. And if you rip out that code and create another kind of widget instead, you probably have to change the manifest, which also says which kind of widget it is. But we could maybe make this easier by providing some conditional compilation stuff, which leaves out everything but the call, which you then have to implement with your own GUI. So that's probably something we should still work on. It's certainly possible, because you have the C++ output code, but it's more work with LV2, I'd say, right now, as with VST, where you can just take your own editor class and throw it in there and delete the traces of the old ones. Right.
So, Albert, I might jump in there just as OpenAV, because I've actually done exactly this in two different ways. One, take the C++ code from Faust. I wrote an architecture backend for Faust, a really, really simple one, where you could pull your parameters and get float pointers, and then you write your own C code or C++ code that actually pushes the values into the Faust DSP. So it's essentially take their magic and just bring it into really usable C code as a certain class.
Right.
And this was the way the first version of Sorcerer was actually built. Even though I never released the architecture file because it was such a hack, but the code generated was that. And from the LV2 point of view, it's actually much simpler. You just add another UI to the plugin itself in the metadata, and it doesn't have to be in the same bundle at all.
Ah, okay.
So you can specify a new bundle, and I think that's the way the mod guys are doing that too,
right.
Which is a really beautiful solution.
Right.
Just that.
Right, that's true. Because it's just also in the LV2 architecture, I've shown that picture which displays how it's compiled. The GUI is really separate. It's a separate module. So you can just throw it away and put in your own GUI as a binary and just change the line with in the manifest which tells it where the plugin is. Or just build without GUI and add the stuff yourself. So that's really, Harry is right. It's much easier than I imagined it to be. But if you want to have some template code, how the integration could work, also with your own GUI, then you can maybe even use some of the code that we generate. Okay, any more questions?
In the middle.
Okay.
You mentioned there were you wanted to use other toolkits as well, some more lightweight. Are you thinking of like stuff like the thing that Harry wrote and Robin?
Yes,
or that kind
I'm thinking specifically about his toolkit. Cool. But there's other stuff. We should really team up to make that happen, because Qt, it looks nice. But I'm maybe not the typical target audience, and we should have alternatives there, but we need to make them happen. So I have no idea how to target his GUI toolkit, and right now we don't have an architecture for that. We don't have faustqt.h for the OpenAV toolkit, and So we still need to write that, and probably we need to team up with Harry. And there are other possibilities like OpenGL or something, which as soon as Jan implements them, I will pick them up. Sorry.
And then another question. You mentioned the number of voices. You wanted to make that a standardized parameter.
Yes, it's already
should I be thinking about like something where the different voices interact, where you have maybe you implement a bleed between them or something like that? Or why would you want to have that inside the Faust code as opposed to a compile parameter or something like that?
The number of voices? No.
Yeah, you had the n voices parameter that you set to 16.
Okay, that's just metadata. It has nothing to do with the Faust program, basically. It gets picked up by the architecture. But there, right now, it's only supported by my own architectures, by the LV2 and the VST architecture. But it's conceivable to make that work with the other architectures as well, so that we have some kind of standard of specifying this Faust program should be an instrument by all architectures which support that kind of thing.
So you cannot make the different voices interact with each other inside the Faust code, like maybe.
Yeah, that's a disadvantage of this approach. If you want to do that, you can't use that technique. Then you build really a DSP, like usual, with all the voices in it as an ordinary effect, and then you have to do all the control yourself.
Yeah. All right. All right.
But that's probably a problem worth thinking about. So what you probably want to do if you want to have interacting strings or stuff like that, then you want to pipe out some control information or even audio information and pipe it into the other, feed it back into the other other voices. So it's conceivable to also do it on the level of an instrument plugin in this sense, but it's not available yet. We really have to develop some ideas for that. And yeah. And another thing, if we talk about voices, of course you want to have a completely dynamic voice allocation, but that's not so easy to do in a real-time context. So we're not doing that right now, but probably something for the to-do list as well. Okay, there seems to be something from IRC.
There is a question from IRC indeed. So Robin Garius asked, does Faust/LV2 cater for MIDI CC bindings? So is it possible to map CC to both parameters like ADSR and synth settings like the sustain pedal?
Yes. I'd say yes. If I understood the question correctly, you're asking how to map MIDI CCs directly onto the extra parameters in the instrument, right? That's possible. You just write some metadata, it's already implemented. Only the input side right now. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I think we have to call it quits now because everybody's waiting for the break, and I'm really thankful for being here, because I'm not quite I'm actually the one to blame that you had to take on this task, David. So I want to say a special and personal thank you that we can be at Berlin for this mini luck. Thank you very much.